Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India-Jordan bilateral ties and Prime Minister's visit to Ethiopia and Oman. The participants are former ambassadors and senior diplomats Prabhu Dayal and Gurjeet Singh. Moderator is Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi is on a three-nation tour to Jordan, Ethiopia and Oman. The visit to all the three countries holds deep significance. And to talk more about it, we are now joined by former ambassadors Prabhu Dayal and Gurjeet Singh. Gentlemen, welcome to Akashvani News.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
As we begin the discussion, first, I would like to bring the focus on Prime Minister's visit to Jordan. So, Prime Minister Narendra Modi was in Amman on December 15th and 16th, where he held extensive discussions with His Majesty King Abdullah II of Jordan on 15th of December, that is yesterday. And five MOUs were signed in the areas of renewable energy, water resource management, cultural exchange, digital solution, and twinning between Petra and Ellora. So, Ambassador Dayal, we would like to have your comments on India and Jordan relationship. And as all of us are aware, India and Jordan share a bilateral trade of $2.875 billion, and both the countries are aiming it to bring it over to $5 billion in the next 5 years. So, which areas do you see as the possible scope of expansion? Which are the areas where possible scope of expansion is when it comes to trade ties?
First of all, let me mention that the India-Jordan relationship is highly significant in the current geopolitical scenario and is characterized by a multifaceted strategic partnership built on mutual trust. Economic interdependence and shared goals of regional stability and counterterrorism are also important subjects which are discussed during high-level meetings such as those of our Prime Minister's visit to Jordan. Now, Jordan's strategic geographical location at the crossroads of Asia, Africa, and Europe positions it as a potential logistics and transit hub for regional trade routes, including, of course, the proposed India-Middle East-Europe Economic Corridor. Now, the economic partnership is very, very important. In fact, economic ties are a strong pillar of the relationship. India is a trading partner with bilateral trade valued at approximately $2.8 billion. Jordan is a vital and reliable supplier of phosphates and potash, which are critical for India's food and agricultural security. Now, there's a joint venture between India and Jordan, which is called the JIFCO, or the Jordan-India Fertilizer Company, which is extremely important in the context of converting rock phosphate in Jordan to phosphoric acid, which is then utilized for our fertilizer industry. And Indian companies also have invested a lot in Jordan, something like about $500 million in the garment sector. And they export products globally under the Jordan trade agreements with various countries, including, of course, to the United States. Now, India supports Jordan human resource development through the ITEC program. India also has with Jordan a center of excellence in information technology, which helps to train Jordanian professionals in emerging fields like artificial intelligence and cybersecurity. So all these are extremely important aspects of the economic relationship. And these are strengthened by the presence of around 17,500 Indian nationals who live and work in Jordan, and they form, in fact, a vital human bridge of friendship between the two countries. They are employed across various sectors, such as textiles, construction, manufacturing, and healthcare. And they are widely regarded as a skilled and reliable workforce. So against this background, Prime Minister's visit was highly significant. And as you mentioned, there were five important agreements which were signed between the two countries. The idea is to bring the two countries closer together in a variety of ways, whether it is through building economic relations or strengthening cultural ties. Of course, the focus on people-to-people ties is very, very important. And in addition, the leadership of both countries has a great deal of interest in continuing the dialogue. Therefore, I think that the dialogue, which really became accentuated during Prime Minister's visit and which focused on cooperation in trade, investment, defense, security, counterterrorism, fertilizers, all this is only going to be strengthened in the years to come.
Ambassador Dayal, your parting comments. Prime Minister has appreciated Jordan as a voice of moderation in the West Asia. How do you look at this?
Both countries share a strong and definite stance against terrorism and radicalization, and they are coordinating efforts in regard to counter-terrorism, cybersecurity, and peacekeeping, which adds strategic depth to India's engagement with the Arab world.
Thank you so much, Ambassador Dayal, for sharing your valuable insights on India-Jordan ties. We'll now move on and discuss Ethiopia with Ambassador Gurjeet Singh. Ambassador Gurjeet Singh, I would like to understand from you, India and Ethiopia share a long history of engagement, and both the countries also share a bilateral trade of US$550.19 million. Ambassador Gurjeet, how do you view this economic ties between India and Ethiopia? And what are the possible areas of expansion which the leaders will discuss now in the visit of Prime Minister?
You rightly said that India and Ethiopia have an ancient heritage. So for us, Ethiopia was the introductory part to Africa from ancient times. Now, of course, the relationship has diversified very much. You have mentioned the economic part, so let me talk about that first. India-Ethiopia trade is, as you said, about $500 million. For a country of the size of Ethiopia, 132 million people, and a growth rate of about 8%, making it one of Africa's fastest growing economies, does not give justice to such a small trade. But we should remember that Ethiopia being landlocked, its port is Djibouti, and a large amount of Indian exports are shown as destination Djibouti, from where they come overland to Ethiopia. Djibouti has imports from India of another $500 million, which a small country like Djibouti cannot consume. Therefore, you have to see the India-Ethiopia trade as closer to $1 billion, double than the official figure. Ethiopia has benefits as an LDC of India's duty-free tariff preference scheme. Then though some pulses and chickpeas have started coming, there is not much that Ethiopia has done to take advantage of. Ethiopia has focused more on its textile sector to access Europe and USA through the American Growth and Opportunities Act. The AGOA was suspended in September 2025, and Ethiopia had been excluded from it earlier. So Ethiopia certainly needs new markets, and India could be one of them. How can we enhance this, particularly viewing the fact that now the Africa Continental FTA is available? This actually encourages Indian investors who used to come to Ethiopia for its 100 million people market, but now realize that investing in Ethiopia opens up regional markets under the Africa Continental FTA. As it is, in the around 2009, India had about $4 billion of private investment, mainly from SMEs in Ethiopia. This came at a time when India had offered nearly $1 billion of low-cost lines of credit to Ethiopia to develop their country. Now, a time has come when Ethiopia is now under IMF restrictions, and they want a rejuvenation of the economic partnership with India so that they can attract more trade and investment and meet the criteria set for them by the IMF.
Ambassador Singh, I would like to have your parting comments on one very important issue. So this is Prime Minister Modi's third visit this year to Africa, and in 15 years, Prime Minister's first visit to Ethiopia. So how do you see this in furthering India's goal as the leader of the Global South, and also strengthening India's Africa First policy?
Prime Minister Modi was perhaps instrumental in getting Ethiopia admitted as a member of BRICS. Prime Minister Modi also invited Ethiopia as they participated in the Voice of Global South summits during India's G20 partnership. The capacity building and human resource development partnership between India and Ethiopia has been a success. The Pan-African E-Network project first had its pilot projects in Ethiopia, and even today, a large number of Ethiopian students, particularly pursuing PhD, are in India. Ethiopia knows the value of India as a Global South partner, and therefore they welcome warmly the visit of Prime Minister Modi so that the further impetus to this relationship can be achieved.
Thank you so much, Ambassador Singh, for giving us such deep insights on the India-Ethiopia bilateral ties. Now we progress in the program and let's listen to an exclusive interview by Akashwani correspondent Rajesh Bali with India's ambassador to Oman, Mr. G. V. Srinivas.
Sir, Indian community has a strong presence in Oman, as people-to-people connect between both countries can be traced back to about 5,000 years. How are they contributing in Oman's development overall?
Thank you very much. If I talk of the contributions being made by the Indian community, Indian expats in Oman, I can simply say that it is tremendous, and it is not me saying it. If you speak to any of the Omani friends or officials, they will all be appreciative of the contributions made by India and Indian expatriates working in the country. As we speak today, the number of Indian expats working in Oman, finding a home here, runs to 675,000. A number which may look very, very impressive, but we have to recognize it has come down from the highest number of more than a million, 10 lakhs that used to be living here. But this is something which depends upon the requirement of the country and the skills and what India can provide. Based on that, the numbers vary, and presently we are at a significant number of 675,000. They are in every sector of area, from blue collar to white collar. They are contributing, for example, as consultants, including in the governments. The last number which I have is that around 5,000 people work in the Sultanate of Oman, in the government itself. And professionals, chartered accountants, IT professionals, all auditors, income tax officials. So the range is huge, and wherever there is what we can share from India's growth story and success story, we are more than happy to be part of them. Please remember that India and Oman are neighbors, only water separating us, or to put it in a better fashion, connecting us.
Sir, in view of the joint vision document, our partnership for the future, which was adopted by India and Oman during the state visit of Sultan of Oman to India exactly 2 years back in 2023, what are the further plans to take that vision forward, sir?
The joint vision document, which was issued in the month of December 2023 during the visit of His Majesty Sultan Haitham bin Tariq to India, was the one which was synergizing the vision of India under Prime Minister Sri Narendra Modi of seeing India as a developed nation by 2047, and that of His Majesty Sultan Haitham bin Tariq of Oman 2040, the Vision 2040 as he puts it. Both have a lot of synergistic relationship. It can build on the strength of India that can contribute to Oman, and similarly the strength of Oman that can contribute to the developmental journey of India. Towards this, a lot of work has already happened and some is work in progress. MOUs are being negotiated and concluded in furtherance of this vision which was articulated. As the sectors, if I can speak of which further, every sector, in fact, I never fail to mention that India-Oman relationship is so mature, 5,000 years, 150 years, 70 years, that every area of relationship or collaboration has been explored. The idea is to look at scaling up the existing success stories. All sectors are being pursued by the two sides, some of them as and when necessary also being recast in the nature of a memorandum of an understanding, whether it is between the government to government or at times public sector units from the Indian side and the state from the Omani side, or even B2B. So all agreements are going forward in realization of this joint vision issued in December 2023.
So that includes that Indian-Oman comprehensive economic partnership agreement also in the process?
Just as you and just as the whole stakeholders both in India and in Oman, I am also extremely hopeful that this agreement will be concluded and it will bring a very successful and happy full stop to an exercise which began roughly 2 years ago, with both sides trying to make the most of this agreement which has been long in the waiting. Hopefully it will be concluded, and that's what we are all hoping for.
You were listening to a discussion on India-Jordan bilateral ties and Prime Minister's visit to Ethiopia and Oman. The participants were former ambassadors and senior diplomats Prabhu Dayal and Gurjeet Singh. Moderator was Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.
Spotlight.